All right, thank you. Let's open our Bibles this evening to Mark chapter 7. If we can turn to Mark chapter 7, and tonight we will be looking at verses 24 through 30. I'll go ahead and read Mark 7, verses 24 through 30, and then we can pray before we delve into it. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. From there he arose, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, from there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Our Father, we thank you and praise you for your word this evening. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his compassion. We thank you for this account that we have today of the woman approaching him. Lord, we just pray that you would give us great wisdom as we delve into your word. Give me wisdom in speaking. Pray, Father, that it be faithful in presenting your word. We pray that you would open our hearts to receive it with meekness, and you just guide us as we delve into it this evening. Give us attentive ears and attentive hearts, Father, as we receive it, Lord. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, for the last few months, we have been going through the gospel according to Mark, and I know it's been a great blessing for me. I hope it also is for you as well. Right now, we're in chapter 7, about drawing near the, I guess you can say, about the middle of Christ's ministry on this earth. We've had several events taking place over the last few weeks that we've been looking at it. In Mark, we've seen Jesus go through several different events. We've seen him cast out demons, which we'll see another instance today. We had him feed the 5,000 just recently in chapter 6. He had sent out his disciples to teach before that, to teach and to preach and to perform signs and wonders. Many believed his word and had many healed, but yet not all believed. Just after the previous chapter, chapter 6, we know that he fed the 5,000. Well, it's not recorded in Mark. We know in the gospel according to John that Jesus said shortly afterward, "I am the bread of life," and speaking many such things, "I am the bread of life. He who believes in me shall never hunger, and he who drinks of me shall never thirst." And from that same, many of his disciples did not walk with Christ anymore. They turned back. We just read in, well, earlier part of chapter 7, as our brother Jonathan related last week, we have the Pharisees and the scribes approached Christ, and they were testing him because his disciples were not keeping all the traditions of the elders. So they were basically grasping at straws what was not clearly commanded by the law of Moses and saying that you're not keeping these things. But our Lord answered them quite wisdom. He was speaking that true righteousness is from God, and he pointed out that from speaking of that what comes out of a man proceeds from the heart. He is speaking of true wisdom. But anyway, from there we go to today. We have Jesus departs from Galilee. We read in verse 24 that he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. So before we delve into this, I'll just divide our section tonight up into basically three points. In verses 24 through 26, we read the Syrophoenician woman, her request of Christ. She begs Christ to cast the demon out of her daughter. And then verses 27 through 28, we read how Christ answers her, or you might almost say Christ testing her request. And then verse 29 through 30, we see how our Lord answers her request. So let's dive into the text right away. As we already said, he arose from there, that is from Galilee, and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. If you look at your Bible and the map, you might realize Tyre and Sidon is really not anywhere near Galilee. I mean, it's up in the northern area, but it's on the further side over by the what we call today the Mediterranean Sea. It's far away. He departs from the regular Jewish areas of Galilee, Judea. He goes into this area that is mainly Gentile. So he's departing from his regular ministry areas, which is interesting. Now, it seems that, well, we know in chapter 6 that he was attempting to get away with his disciples to a desolate place, and of course we know the crowds followed him there. So it seems that he is getting away from the crowds, perhaps to rest. And then we see that he's trying to hide himself, as we see in the rest of the part. It said he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. He was seeking to get away from the crowds, we see, but still his reputation, he was a man who cured diseases, cast out demons, that followed him, and so he could not be hidden. This word still went out. So even though he was in a Gentile area, we assume, well, probably he was maybe staying with a Jew in his house. But anyway, so he's basically trying to hide, but he could not be hidden because there is a woman, we read in verse 25, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. She heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. So, who is this woman? Well, we read in verse 26, this woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. We read a Greek, in that time, basically a Greek just means a Gentile. She was a Gentile. She was not a Jew. And she's a Syrophoenician by birth. That is one who's from the Syria, Phoenicia area. Matthew calls her a Canaanite woman, which none of those are contradicting each other. She was from the land of Canaan, but particularly the Tyre and Sidon area, which was pretty much settled by Phoenicians who ruled the sea at one point in the time. But anyway, point is, she's a Gentile. She's not a Jew, but she still heard about Christ. She knew that Christ came primarily to the Jews, but still she heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. And we might ask, well, we already know why she came and was requesting of Christ, because she had a daughter who had an unclean spirit. She had a daughter who was possessed by a demon. We don't know exactly, what the details were of this demon plaguing this poor child. In some other places in Mark, we read details of how demon possession affects the victims, but Matthew 15, the parallel account, Matthew 15, 21 through 28, describes this woman this daughter as being severely demon possessed, which sounds very grave indeed. So this woman had a daughter who was severely demon possessed. Now, Christ had cast out many demons. We have a count of few in Mark, definitely not all of them. We read in chapter 1, he cast out many demons. But anyway, this woman heard about Christ. I mean, even though she was a Gentile, it seems that she wanted him to cast them out, to cast the demon out of her daughter. So we read that she came and fell at his feet and was asking Christ to cast the demon out of her daughter. Now, if for proper context, I think if we want to see the events in a linear fashion, you might want to turn over to Matthew real quick to see Matthew's perspective. If you want to turn over to Matthew 15, verse 21, we can just read that real quick. I'll just start in verse 21. Matthew says, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.'" So first she comes and cries out to him, "My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But verse 23, "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" So verses 22 through 24 are mainly not really in Mark, but they're in Matthew. So we see that first she tries crying out to him, and Mark says that she was asking him. So she didn't just ask him once, she was asking him. It's the imperfect tense of the verb. She was continually asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But we read that Christ didn't answer her a word. And his disciples asked him why, and he says, "Because I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." This woman is a Gentile, a Syrophoenician, a Canaanite woman, but I was sent to the sheep, to the house of Israel. Now, you may remember when he sent out his disciples to teach and to preach and to cast out demons, to heal sicknesses, a few chapters ago, he specifically instructed them, "Do not go into a village of the Samaritans or enter the way of the Gentiles, but go to the house of Israel," because Jesus was sent primarily to the Jews. But anyway, so back to this woman. So she's asking Christ continually, but he doesn't answer her. So this woman, she still believes that Christ can heal her daughter. She keeps asking him, even though Christ doesn't answer her, she finally comes. And as we read in verse back in Mark chapter 7, verse 25, she came and fell at his feet. So she came and falls down at her feet, as they would do to royalty, to one very noteworthy person. But Matthew says that she worshiped Christ. So she didn't just fall at his feet, she worshiped him because she knew this is the Son of God. Oh, well, I mean, she's a Canaanite woman, so I guess we don't know ultimately how much she knows, but she believed that Christ could cast the demon out. So we see kind of that she had persistence. She had, she almost had an importunate attitude. Like Jacob, she would not let Christ go until he blessed her. She had faith that Christ could cast the demon out of her daughter. So, but anyway, back to Mark, we read here that Jesus said to her, verse 27 through 28, we see how our Lord tests her. Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." So let's see our Lord's response first. So he speaks of, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Well, first he says, "Let the children be filled first." Now, what is he referring to here? Well, by children, I think he's quite specifically speaking of the house of Israel, to those whom he was sent. He is thinking of himself as the father, and the children are the house of Israel. So he says, "Let the children," that is the house of Israel, "be filled first." Of course, he had just said he's the bread of life, so let them be filled with my ministry first. For it is not good to take the bread and give it to the little dogs. And I know there's so much here, but I'll just go through it briefly. We know that Jesus Christ, Paul said in Romans 15, that Jesus Christ became a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, a servant to the Jews for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers. That's Romans 15:8. And that's why he's saying, let the Jews be filled with Christ first. Now, that might seem very harsh, but I think it's very important. See, he says, let the children be filled first. He's not saying that the little dogs cannot be fed. But anyway, he says, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. He's saying, let's not take the bread away from the children, from the Jews, and give it to the little dogs. And when he says little dogs here, it's a very interesting term. Back in that time, most of us know, dogs were not treated the same as they are now. Dogs were not held in high regard at all by the Jews or the surrounding cultures. They were basically vermin who cleaned up. They were scavengers. But Christ does not speak of just plain dogs here. He speaks of little dogs, or almost, you could translate it, puppies. One commentator referenced it, you could say doggy. That's what Christ is referring to here. He says it's not good. He's not referring to the Gentiles as dogs, the rough out there, but they're like little doggies at their master's table. So maybe to us, it sounds harsh, but this woman sees what Christ is saying. There's an element of endearment here to these little dogs. So the woman answers and says, she still believes that Christ can cast the demon out of her daughter. She says, "Yes, Lord, it's not good for the children or the dogs to be fed first, but even the little dogs, the doggies, eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." So it's, I just going through this, I was amazed just to see her, the level of faith in this woman. She says, first she says, "Yes, Lord." She submits to him as Lord. She's not pretending to be anything of herself. She is acknowledging him to be Lord and Master, that what he says is true. His word is truth. He says that even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. And she speaks of the little dogs under the table. She acknowledges their state as Gentiles. She acknowledges that apart from God, they are without hope in the world, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. She realizes that they have no standing before God. But she says that the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. So she doesn't ask for a large piece of bread. She says that the little dogs would be most happy and content with the crumbs which are left over from the children. And I thought that was just a beautiful picture here. The only other place where crumbs is mentioned is that of Lazarus and the rich man. It's said that Lazarus, of course, was laid. It's kind of ironic that Lazarus was laid at the gate of the rich man. The dogs came and licked his sores, and he desired to feed of the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. But here we see the little doggies eat the crumbs which come from the children. She believes and knows that just the little crumbs of Christ's ministry can heal her daughter. She believes that a little bit of Christ is worth more than all the power and wisdom of this world. And I couldn't help but think of this woman that have she had faith, like he's, the writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So this woman believed that Christ was God, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's why she kept asking him. That's why she kept imploring him to cast the demon out of her daughter. So anyway, we see this. The woman kept asking Christ, and so then Christ responds to her in verse 29 through 30. "Then he said to her, 'For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of her, gone out of your daughter.' And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed." Matthew says that that Christ says, "O woman, great is your faith." And it's amazing. I thought of the Christ in other places, and I think Luke 4, he speaks of the faith of the Gentiles being much more than that of the Jews. Think of Luke 4, which is very interesting. We think of the centurion also in Luke 7. And I couldn't help but think of Isaiah 57 here when we think of the woman's attitude. Isaiah 57:15. "For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the spirit, the heart of the contrite ones. So we see, I think here, a beautiful picture in this woman of one who humbled herself and had a contrite heart before the Lord. And I can't help but see the contrast between her and the Pharisees that we just read about, who were trying to keep the traditions of men. That's when they were accusing Christ. We see the contrast between them, who are keeping all the little things of the law, and this woman who had simple faith, even though she don't know how much she knew, probably very little, but she still believed Christ. But anyway, Christ told her, the demon has gone out of your daughter. And we read that verse 30, when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. So when the woman heard that, she believed Christ. And so she returned to her house. She believed him, and she found that what Christ had truly cast her demon, the demon out of her daughter. Oh, and I forgot to say that her daughter is, it says, it's a young daughter. It's a little daughter. So it's her little girl had this demon. So the demon had gone out, and her daughter was lying on the bed in peace. And I couldn't help but think of Psalm 4:8, that when the psalmist says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So we see a contented peace of this daughter who had been healed by our Lord Jesus Christ. So wrapping up here, we see this example of this woman, and just some of the things we learn here, that we know that Christ came to save his people, the Jews, from their sins. But how can we thank God that we especially see in this passage that he came not just to save the Jews, but also the Gentiles? This is, of course, more clearly laid out in the book of Acts. We thank God that he is not the God of the Jews only, but also the God of the Gentiles. We thank God there is now no distinction between Jew or Greek, but the same Lord is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I know I was just challenged by this woman, her faith in Christ. I'd just like to challenge all of us tonight. Do we believe in the name of Christ? Do we trust him? Are we abiding in him? Are we praying with faith to God? Are we coming to God believing that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? Matthew Henry had a couple great comments on this passage. I'll just quote a couple of them here. For this woman, Matthew Henry says, those that would obtain mercy from Christ must throw themselves at his feet, must refer themselves to him, humble themselves before him, and give up themselves to be ruled by him. Christ never put any away from him that fell at his feet. And I think that's true. Of course, our Lord, if we, like Isaiah 57, if we humble ourselves, prostrate ourselves before him, he will never turn away that come to him with a contrite heart. And also, this woman was so concerned for her daughter. Let us also ask for our children. Matthew Henry says, the greatest blessing that we can ask of Christ for our children is that he would break the power of Satan, that is, the power of sin in their souls, and particularly that he would cast forth the unclean spirit, that they may be temples of the Holy Ghost, and that he may dwell in them. And as I have a little daughter, that particularly resonated with me. Let us pray to God to cast out the sin of our children's souls, those of us that have children. But anyway, so I was blessed by this example that we read here tonight. But does anyone have any questions before we break up for prayer? Does anyone have any prayer requests that we'd like to share before we break up? All right. we can be dismissed and let's go to our rooms.